Happy to have D. Smith sitting in with the Junks. Go get his new book, Turf Wars, The Fight for the Soul of America's Game, wherever books are sold.
Hey, far
go
be
grab
it,
a copy.
Far be it from me to defend Jerry Jones, because I don't care about him at all.
Here we go.
I get nothing. But you attacked him, said if there was a dollar bill on the sidewalk, he'd bend over and get it. Who wouldn't? I'd pick up a dollar bill. Gangs would pick up a dollar bill.
Sure.
Jerry, I believe you would pick up a dollar bill.
I'd pick up a dollar bill. I probably wouldn't back my car over somebody to get it.
Okay, That's a different story.
Look, Jerry, the book was fun because I spent 15 years with these guys, and very few people get an opportunity to negotiate against, 31 billionaires. They all have their quirks, but, the reality of it is, man, these guys live in a world where if they can impose their will on you, they will. That's just
that's how they've gotten to where they are.
That's how they've gotten where they are.
Right.
Can we? I got a bunch of things still I want to ask you while you're here. But I got a listener, a diehard listener, though, and he's just skeptical.
Yeah.
He said, I know D's your guy, but he refuses to believe. And I'm like, dude, they went to court over it.
Yeah.
He refuses to believe that a network would sign a deal that would pay for no product.
Yeah.
Can you explain how that?
Sure.
Maybe that worked in their head? Or
sure. No, I mean, I guess one thing I would say to the fan is, man, have you read the TV contract?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Well, then pump the brakes. I did.
Yeah.
So, right?
You're not making it up.
There's no chance he read it.
Of course. I mean, I'm like, dude, they went to court over it. Of course it happened.
We went to court over it, and a judge ruled for us. So what I would say is, hey, man, go read the opinion.
Yeah, but why? His point is,
why would
a network sign something like that?
Two reasons. One, the networks always sign contracts where at the end of the day, they have a section called make goods. So what could happen is, okay, a game gets canceled or something happens and it doesn't get shown. Well, the make goods provision means that the league needs to do something to make up for the fact that something didn't happen.
Okay.
But here's the real reason why they do it. And fans just need to get their heads around it. Of the top 100 television shows every year, 90 of them are NFL games.
Yeah.
So the reason why revenue is so high is that the league has so much leverage over the networks that, let me just tell you something that everybody needs to get their head around. The networks lose money on football.
Wow.
It just keeps them.
It's not a positive ROI on football.
And also,
they'll pay anything to keep it.
Correct.
Right. So they'll say, look, you want the NFL? You have to also put in this provision that if we get locked out or something happens, you're going to have to pay us $1 billion.
Correct.
We don't care. We want the NFL. We'll sign that.
100%.
So that's
and
why.
So
They're
at the end desperate. Of the day, the way they make money is football drives everything for their ancillary television content. So you think about the deal that Rupert Murdoch did for Fox to get football whenever it was back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
CBS refused to play football.
Mm-hmm.
So CBS had the games. Fox wanted football. Rupert Murdoch made a bid to get the NFL, and he drastically overpaid the value. But remember, Fox back then was the Tracy Ullman show. When dogs kill people,
they needed
criminals.
An anchor.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
okay. When cats get guns, whatever the show they were showing on Fox.
Yeah.
But as soon as Fox got the NFL, that blew up Fox Network. What happened to CBS? CBS thought, we've got the number one show in America, and that's 60 Minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They tanked. Yeah.
So the moral of the story is every network now realizes if they want to be a player, you have to have the NFL.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So much so, I don't know if you saw Rogers' statement 2 days ago. And he's, I mean, we get along a lot better. Well, he hasn't read the book, but that's probably going to be a problem.
Yeah.
But he actually does better in the book than I ever thought he would.
He actually came off pretty well.
I'm dead serious. I mean, Roger and I nicked each other up over, 15 years, and we had some knockdown dragouts.
Well, you have to. You guys are like Hatfields and McCoys.
You have to. But at the end, I mean, look, we got the 2020 deal done. He came out one day and said that the league got it wrong on Anthem and got it wrong on Kaepernick, and that took a lot of guts on his part. But last week, if you notice what he said, our competition is not the NBA. Our competition is Apple and Google.
Right.
Mm.
You want to talk about how they get the leverage?
Mm-hmm.
If you got to a point where now the NFL considers that the only competition they have in the world is Apple and Google, They're that's on the verge of running. That's how big you are. And you're bigger than any network.
Can you explain? Because I always got a kick out of this. That it's a thrill for a lot. We love the draft, right? And the NFL's so brilliant at marketing.
Truly,
everything is like all NFL all the time, year round. The draft is one of those deals.
It's insane.
And D has always told me that, I could say this. I know I could say this. It infuriated him that the players would hug
Goodell.
The guy, the guy,
like
who
they've
wants
been friends.
That play 25 games, who would like to strip them of their pensions,
cut their salaries
in half, and you guys are going up there and hugging this guy like he's your savior,
like he's daddy,
right? That
drives me crazy.
That would drive you crazy.
It's like hugging Darth Vader.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, look, I mean, I got a great job at Latham when they recruited me out of the U.S. Attorney's office. Man, I didn't hug the dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, you shake his hand and you say, thank you very much. And you're going to pay me a lot of money. I'm going to work a lot of hours. And that's our relationship. And what I would like to tell players is, hey, man, you're going to go and hug this guy like he's your dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The next time you see this cat will be when he suspends you.
Right, yeah. Right.
That literally is the next time you'll see him. Or the only time you'll see him.
Right. So two-faced.
Treat it like a job. It's you know,
be respectful.
I would be two-faced too to make $70 million a year. I can't believe it.
Yeah, but you could just shake his hand.
Shake his hand.
It's annoying that he does that because it looks like they've been friends for 20 years.
Right.
And it's the first time he doesn't care about
Roger.
Him.
Doesn't care about you. You are a commodity to him. I know. That's Dee's point.
I know.
Yeah. Well, and look, my standard line to the draftees, because we would see him the day before the actual draft, right? And that part is very cool from a football standpoint. Like,
of course.
You're in a room. We've got the top, whatever it is, 50, 60 players.
And their lives are going to be changed forever.
And they're young, and they're kids, and they're happy, and I dig it, and I think it's absolutely great. But what I always said to them was, you're going to see a big sign that says, welcome to the NFL family. And my standard line was, you are not in the family because you're not in the will.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's a job. And congratulations, but you're only there because you were the best college football player in the country. They're not giving you anything.
Mm-hmm.
You're there because you are better than
everybody
else.
And they want to cut your pay. They want to take away your pension. They want you to play a million games.
Yeah.
Just remember that.
Just remember. And you know, and again, you know, you sit at the job and I only have one myopic focus on making the players better than they were the day before. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And it does rob you of loving the game over a period of time.
How did you deal with, like you even alluded to it yourself, he wasn't a D guy.
Yeah.
He was a D guy. So like you have like I could remember being at St. Andrew's games when Steven and Alex played together. They played soccer and lacrosse together. And D would be sitting there and he had 100 phones and Peyton Manning's on one and freaking Tom Brady's on another. And you have to deal with, and then you have other guys, you know, union reps you're dealing with. But some of them were D guys. Some of them weren't D guys. What made one a D guy and another not a D guy?
You know, I think what I always loved with
like Aaron Rodgers was not a D guy.
I'm not sure he's anybody's guy.
Yeah. Right.
I mean,
he's his own guy.
He's his own guy. And again, maybe that's the good foil. Guys who were curious, who wanted to understand what a union is about, guys who wanted to ask questions. I mean, look, everybody comes into a scenario with your preloaded assumptions about the way things are supposed to work. And that's completely fine, right? It's the listener who, man, I don't believe the TV contracts are like that. I'm like, hey, man, it's fine for you to have that kind of belief.
Right.
But I can't teach you anything if you think you already know everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I don't know if guys were always just D guys or not D guys. I just like the guys who were willing to say, okay, teach me.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, if you want to learn, man, learn that John Mackey sued the NFL for free agency in 1971. We didn't get free agency until 1993.
Mm-hmm.
It was 20 years of litigation.
Jeez.
20
That's
years.
That's crazy.
20 years. And so, you know, you get some guys in the room who stand up and say, well, you know, I don't like D because he likes to litigate instead of negotiate. And I'm kind of like, well, champion man, if you just want to, like, open a book and, like, read, you would learn that the only thing we ever got was
through litigation.
Yeah. And if somebody comes by and says, hey, you know, we want to take your stuff away. I mean, I guess you could give it to them.
Uh-huh.
I'm not that
You're going to fight for it.
I'm going to fight
for
it.
So you schooled, I don't even know if you can say this, but who was the toughest player to deal with that just didn't believe what you were teaching?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
All right, maybe,
You know what I do know is I know that there were some guys, I can tell you there were some guys who weren't believers who then understood it. And and probably the best guy was Tom.
Tom
wasn't a D guy at first.
I don't know if he wasn't. I'll take that back. I think he was always a Tom was always a good union guy.
All right.
I mean, look, one story I tell in the book is, you know, I don't know, it was like maybe a month after I get elected. The Patriots were one of the first teams that I went to visit on a team visit. And I think somebody from Real Sports were with me, and, you know, they kind of do the whole B-roll where you're walking into the thing. And,
yep.
You know, I'd like to say it was a great D moment, but literally I walk in and the door opens and there's nobody there and I have no idea where I'm going. I'm just lost. Mm-hmm. And there's this camera following me and I'm literally walking around freaking Patriot Place looking like a complete idiot because I've never been there before. But anyway, I go down this hallway, I make a right. And when I make a right, there's Tom Brady sitting in a chair. And I, you know, he stands up and he goes, "Hey, you know, I'm Tom Brady." And I'm like,
First of all,
you're 97 feet tall. I mean, the dude is ginormous.
Right.
And I said, "Hey, I'm D Smith." And I said, "Oh, hey, by the way, what are you doing here?" And he turns to me and he goes, "Hey, look, you're our new leader. And I thought it was important that I walk you into the team room."
Oh, that's cool.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, right?
And, yeah. But Tom was also one of those guys who didn't quite either believe or understand that the Patriots were only spending 89% of the salary cap, right? And I had I got crossways with Tom because he was taking quarterback deals that were undervalued.
Right.
And the idea, or at least the thought was, well, they're paying Tom less money so they could spread the money around to other players. That just
wasn't the case.
They were only spending 89% of the cap.
Yeah.
So, you know, two problems. It was like, one, I want them to spend as much as possible. But two, you not taking top value quarterback contracts suppresses the market.
Yeah. Hurts other quarterbacks, so other players.
I don't think you would ever do it. But let's just say you were an agent representing a player, right? Let's say you're representing Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
What leverage does he have?
Well, the leverage he has is...
Because they're killing him because of his age. And they're looking at the inevitable decline that, on average, guys his age, right? Yep. And they don't want to pay a premium.
Yep.
What leverage does he have?
The leverage that he has is to continue to make his case that he's the best wide receiver on that team. And by the way, I like Josh. And I think that, you know, I've been in this town for a long time. You know, we all suffered through Dan Snyder, and I suffered through it as a fan, you know, as well as...
Hey, our wallets suffered through it.
We all
did. Dan Snyder owes us a lot of money.
At least a hug. At least a hug.
No, ratings bonuses. He costs us a lot of ratings bonuses. Yeah.
But,
no, he did.
But at the end of the day, look, I think I like Josh. I think everything he's doing is right. There's a new feeling spirit around this team.
Yeah, this is not an anti-Josh thing. I'm just saying from a player perspective.
So what I would say if I'm you know, Terry and I'm not his agent, but look, they're on the verge of something special here. And he has demonstrated his worth to the team. He has demonstrated that he is the most lethal guy on the field at that position. There's not 10 Terry McLaurins out there, right? They're just not. So I think his leverage is to continue to say that, look, this is something I demand. And you know what? He does.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when does he, but what's the breaking point? They're not budging.
You never know. You never know. But you, I do know one thing. Until you force it to that point, you never get anything. So I'm behind him. I'm behind everybody there. I think it's cool. I think the team is in great hands. I love the Josh regime more than I love the Dan Snyder regime.
Oh, we didn't get the Dan Snyder story.
That goes without saying.
We'll come back. Last segment.
All right. Turf Wars is the book. Damora Smith is the author. Go buy it wherever books are sold. D. Smith, former executive director of the NFLPA. We'll wrap up the show with him next.